are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one I am talking about, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. One day, you know, in the very foreseeable future, I suspect we're going to wind up having a bigger footprint than what I just said, and I'm going to have to revise my entire pitch. What am I going to say? I mean, it's like it's so ingrained I can say it in my sleep. All right, listen, it is 3:30 on Friday. We got a new thing that we started doing the last few weeks. So those of y'all that have come to know JP on the microphone here, he's been with us now. What is it, your second week here? Second week. Finishing your second week. Mm-hmm. It's real, apparently. So JP, though, also has his own morning sports show on the Ump in Huntsville from 9 to 11?
9 to 11.
Does a show called Off the Bench.
Saturday mornings.
And so listen, here's the thing. The way I can rattle off some stuff about politics or, you know, military terminology, whatever, he can do with sports. I sit back sometimes and just try to figure out where all that stuff stays in his head. So we're going to do this segment we call JP on Sports. All right, so we're going to go 2-minute warnings. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, JP, listen, Dazzlers, we break this down into two segments for those who don't know. The first segment is called the three and out. And then we come back from a break and you do 2-minute warnings.
Mm-hmm.
Three and out, dude. What's your first of the three?
Well, first, I feel like I got to get this get this out of the way first.
I know exactly where you're going.
You know, recap the Vanderbilt-Alabama game, preview them hopefully redeeming themselves against South Carolina this weekend. But some people are deeming this the worst loss in Alabama football history against Vanderbilt. You know, I'm not quite sure if I want to go that far.
The worst loss against Vanderbilt or the worst loss?
Or the worst loss in Alabama football history that came against Vanderbilt. I'm not sure if I want to go that far, but without going in the weeds too much a little bit, because, you know, I like to watch film breakdowns and such because I'm a sports nerd, and I want to figure out, you know, the real reason why Alabama lost that game. And, you know, but long story short, you know, if the Alabama defensive coordinator can stop becoming so predictable, and where teams like Vanderbilt can scheme circles around you, I think this Alabama team is going to be fine. I still think a 2-loss Alabama team could realistically get into the 12-team playoff. So,
okay, now is that the Bama fan in you talking,
I think that's very true. I think that's, you know, because if say you have a loss against Vanderbilt and then you lose on the road against a good Tennessee team, I could see a 10-2 Alabama being the 11th or 12th seed in that playoff still. So, although they made the route a lot harder and given themselves a lot less room to make mistakes, I still think this Bama team is going to be okay. But it was a very, very ugly loss if you're an Alabama fan.
I saw and you know, everything with AI, you got to be careful these days. But I saw what appeared to be a profanity-laced rant from Coach DeBoer in front of the media. Was that real?
I don't know which video you're talking about. It was not real.
It was not real? Okay, no. I saw that. I thought, surely to goodness, this is not happening.
It was funny, though. But okay. You know, it was not real. But like I said, they got South Carolina this weekend to hopefully bounce back. South Carolina is not a bad team either, though, but they have it in Bryant Denny. Okay. And hopefully they're an angry Alabama team, and, you know, they're playing at home. So hopefully this Alabama team can shake off that ugly Vanderbilt loss and bounce back. But I will say, too, this was not a stereotypical Vanderbilt team. They were much better than past. So
their quarterback was on fire.
Yeah.
So let me ask a quick question about that before you go to the next one, though. Did Vandy beat Alabama, or did Bama beat Alabama?
I think Vanderbilt beat Alabama. I'll say it this way. Their players were not better players, but the coaching staff, coach circles around Alabama's coaching staff,
wow,
particularly Alabama's defensive coordinator, who is supposed to be this defensive guru and genius, and became very predictable and ran the same coverage over and over again to where Vanderbilt was able to scheme circles around him pretty much. So
all right.
I would say Vanderbilt's coaching staff outcoached Alabama's coaching staff.
Wow. Oh, you don't hear that kind of thing very often. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's a sentence that I'm not sure I ever heard uttered in the world. All right, so three and out, you got one down. What's two?
Well, we got a big rivalry game this weekend. We have the Red River Rivalry. Try to say that three times fast. Which, by the way, I like the old name better of the Red River Shootout. And they've changed it to the Red River Rivalry. I don't know.
It was scary.
I don't know if cancel culture got a hold of that one or
darn
not.
Darn right it did.
But if we want to talk rivalry names as a whole, they also changed the Oregon-Oregon State rivalry game from the Civil War to the Oregon-Oregon State rivalry football game is now the name of it. So let's make rivalry names great again. But I'm very excited to see this game because in the past two seasons, Oklahoma's had Texas's number. But this year, Texas is number one. Oklahoma is number 18. Oklahoma has a new freshman quarterback that they're going behind. They've benched Jackson Arnold. This freshman quarterback is a dual threat guy. He's probably a better runner than passer, truth be told. But Oklahoma has had Texas's number, so we'll see if they can beat the number one Texas team this time. I don't know if they will because I think Texas is much better than the last 2 years where Oklahoma beat them. But they've had their number. So, and if Oklahoma could pull off this win, it would really shake things up because
you've had
Texas and Alabama kind of switching one and one, and then if you have Texas beat the weekend after Alabama beat, who do you put at number one? Because you also have Georgia with one loss too. The list of teams who are undefeated besides Ohio State is pretty small. So, big rivalry game, but also if Texas loses, it will be very interesting to see how things shake out.
And by golly, we're calling it the Red River Shootout.
The Red River Shootout is a much cooler name. But we'll see if 3 years in a row, if Oklahoma can have Texas's number. That'd be crazy.
Okay. All right. Three and out. You got two down. What's your third?
Well, we have Ohio State versus Oregon, number two versus number three, which is besides the Alabama-Georgia game, one of the biggest games so far in the regular season. It will be at Oregon. I still really think that Oregon is overrated. I'm not so high on Dylan Gabriel like everybody else is. I don't think they're bad, but I don't think they're the third best team in the country. But then you have Ohio State, who has probably the best roster in the nation. I believe they spent upwards of like $12 million to build that roster.
They spent $12 million, which, by the way, that still irks me that you have to even say something like that in college football.
Ohio State is like I said, the best roster so far. But both teams, this is really like their first real test of the season. Ohio State played Michigan State and killed them, but that's Michigan State. They're kind of at the lower end of the Big Ten. This is now a conference game with Oregon in the Big Ten. So that this not only goes a long way in telling who can win the Big Ten, but also rankings-wise, number two versus number three. So whoever loses is probably going to drop out of the top five. So big game. It's a good weekend for college football. You have a lot of good ranked games. So it
says a lot to say it's their first real game of the season, and it's number two versus number three.
Exactly.
I mean, that's like coming in strong on a first real game.
I know. So we'll see if Oregon can shake off and get past the overrated, because I'm not the only one who says a lot of people think they're overrated at number three. So if they can beat a number two Ohio State, then they'll shut up those rumors.
Okay. So you're not going to talk about Auburn at all right now?
Well, they have a bye week this week. So,
oh, that's right, they do.
We can talk about Auburn losing to Georgia last week if you want to. But
no, I don't.
They got a bye week. So.
Hey, I didn't even look to see. In fact, it just dawned on me. I've gone the whole week without noticing. What happened to Bama in the polls?
They dropped to number seven.
Seven.
So not as bad. I was kind of expecting like 10 or 11. Truth be told,
if it had been anybody but Bama, it would have been 10 or 11.
Yeah, I think people are still high on Bama's roster to give them the benefit of the doubt, and they had the fluke game, truth be told. Like I said, this Vanderbilt team is better than the stereotypical Vanderbilt. So,
Last week was also a weird week. There were more upsets. I mean, Bama Vandy was the upset.
I believe there was five top 11 teams that were upset, and Miami almost joined them if they didn't have the insane comeback they did. So there was something in the air last week.
Maybe it was that low pressure zone from the Hurricanes coming through. Who knows?
But I think that shows too that NIL and the transfer portal, there's no quote bad teams. Like the lower end teams can't compete with anybody. And you saw that with Vanderbilt. You also saw that with Arkansas beating Tennessee. You saw that with Cal almost beating Miami. So the new era of college football, you can't write off anybody. So.
All right, so because we have a minute left before we go, I got to tell you, John just from Huntsville just texted in and said, JP, Who do you think is going to win tonight, number 16 Utah or Arizona State? By the way, you got last Friday's game right between UNLV and Syracuse, but your Saturday pick'em skills need some work, he says.
Listen, I don't think I'm the only one from last weekend.
Nobody did good last week. So what do you think, Utah, Arizona State?
I got Utah. I really like this Utah team, especially if Cam Rising is playing tonight. I haven't looked to see if he is. I believe he's off the injury list, so he may be. But Utah is one of those teams where they're going to keep everybody in the dark about who's playing, and you won't really know until you see who runs out there. But I like this Utah team. So I don't go to Utah.
If you have depth that you can bring surprises to the roster like that, that's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, so the Utes over Arizona State, you're saying.
I'm saying that.
All right. Well, I tell you what, let's go ahead and move it into a break then. We'll take a break right now. We're doing some JP on sports. Did I tell you he knows stuff? By the way, he's not reading notes. He's just sitting here doing this stuff. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. I mean, just making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we are in the second round now of JP on Sports. And this one we call the two-minute warning. So, all right, JP, I'm gonna be slinging you some stuff, and you got 2 minutes on each, and then we'll have a buzzer if you don't get it done in 2 minutes. All right, you
sounds
ready?
Good, yeah.
All right, the first one, go.
All right, well, one of the other big games this weekend that I did not talk about, we have Ole Miss going to LSU. It's a big-time SEC West matchup. Ole Miss number 9 going to LSU, who's number 13. Ole Miss is looking to keep bouncing back because they had a strong outing against South Carolina last week after losing to Kentucky at home, which was an ugly loss. But they had a convincing win at South Carolina. If they can get another win in Death Valley, then it looks like they're riding the ship completely after that loss. LSU, on the other hand, they've been kind of riding comfortably. They have one loss of their season opener against Florida State, or not Florida State. It was against USC, actually. But they've been kind of riding comfortably. They got one loss. They've been hanging below the radar, but this is a big game. Their first real big game, and it's an SEC matchup. So we have a fast, high-powered offense against LSU, who's got a solid defense. So it's really a battle of good versus good. So in Death Valley, that may give LSU the bump, but whoever wins this game, this is a big game determining who's going to win the SEC West. So another good one to keep an eye on. Like I said, this is a great weekend of ranked matchups in college football, so make sure to catch that one too.
Barely over a minute. You got in under the wire on that one. Pretty good. All right, next one, two-minute warning. What you got?
Well, I'm going to go outside of college football on this one because it's MLB playoff season, and the Mets upset the Phillies in round 2 of the MLB playoffs. They're now going to the National League Championship Series. They'll be playing the winner of the Dodgers and the Padres, who is coming down to an elimination game. But can I just say, as a Braves fan, okay, obviously, both these teams are Braves rivals, but it was so nice to see the Phillies get bounced round one after they bounced the Braves out in round one the last two seasons. It was very nice to see them get a taste of their own medicine. But it's another chapter of the team who has barely gotten in the wild card with momentum, beating a team who is a top seed and should be the favorite, but they just get steamrolled. And it's, you know, the top seed, the top two seeds from each conference have a bye in the first round. Yeah. So they have time to sit back and kind of get cold. Meanwhile, the other team has to play a wild card game and then play you. They have momentum going. So it's like the last like 5 or 6 years, it's always been like a team that barely got into the playoffs that won the World Series. And it's never the team that everybody expects. So I'm kind of thinking this Mets team, with the role they're on, they may be that team this year, and they may win it all.
The Mets.
Mm-hmm. So it's crazy. And I'm one that thinks the MLB playoff system needs changing a little bit, because I like to see the best teams playing well at that time. Although these underdog stories are fun, you know, maybe get rid of the bye in the first round for the top two seeds. I don't know, but it's an interesting storyline. This Mets team has been the storyline so far in the playoffs, so let's see how far they can go.
Minute 43, you skated in under the wire for the two-minute warning on that one. All right, so you like the Mets. You like the Mets, or are you just saying maybe the Mets? What do you say?
I think the Mets will do it, but like I said, as a Braves fan, that kind of pains me. But, yeah, I like the Mets.
All right, you 2 minutes. All right, here we go. Next topic. What do you got? Two-minute warning. Go for it.
Well, I'm going to go into a completely different realm, since I like to be a little bit diverse here. But I'm big UFC guy. So we had a big pay-per-view last weekend.
Oh no.
One of my favorite fighters, Alex Pereira, ended up winning. And you know, if you're not big into UFC, this Alex Pereira guy has been on a crazy roll. And he's one of the only UFC fighters ever that people are contemplating he could be the first three-weight champion in UFC history. Of, you know, he was middleweight champion. He's now light heavyweight champion, and now people are pushing him to go to heavyweight to try to become the first three-weight division champion in UFC history.
Is he bulking up or just eating a lot?
Oh, he's bulking up. So it's funny. He's fighting at 205, which is his weight class. He's 6'5". And
what?
Every time after he weighs in, he goes to his hotel and shows how much he weighs on fight day. You know, he refueled up, and he weighed 230 after weighing in at 205 the night before. So he weighed in at 205.
What?
Went to sleep, refueled up, ate, you know, everything, and gained 25 pounds in a night. That
does not feel healthy.
No, but you know, this guy is a freak athlete. So yeah, like I said, he's one of my favorite fighters to watch. He's on a crazy roll. So
what's his style?
Kickboxing. He's a kickboxing guy. He was a kickboxing two-weight champion in Glory Kickboxing, which is a kickboxing organization, decided to come over and try out MMA, and has been two-weight UFC champion, potentially the first three-weight UFC champion ever.
What's his record, do you know?
He's 11-2.
Okay.
So
knockouts?
A lot, yeah. Most of them are knockouts. No, not tap outs. This guy, he's only had one win in the UFC that wasn't a knockout, I believe. So
holy cow.
He's something special, so.
Oh, 2-minute warning. You got it done right then. All right, so let's. What do we got? We got a little time left. Yeah, we do. All right, 2-minute warning. So you're running the gamut right now. You've done NCAA football,
MLB,
pro baseball, yeah, and then and the UFC. Mm-hmm. You caught me off guard with the UFC thing. Did you like the fact that I knew the word tap out? I sound like I knew something yeah. about it. I think I exhausted my knowledge of the sport. All right, what's the next 2-minute?
I'm gonna end it on a kind of a fun conversation to have. Kalen DeBoer has been getting hammered for his fashion style on the sideline.
Yes, he has.
And you know, I was saying,
T-shirt boy,
I don't care what he's wearing on the sideline as long as he's getting the job done and he's winning. But then now you have your first loss against Vanderbilt, and I have to say, while watching the game, after I defended him saying he can wear whatever he wants and Alabama's about to lose, I'm sitting there, they show him on the TV, and I'm like, gosh, I wish he wasn't wearing a t-shirt with his nipples poking through the shirt and looking sloppy. It's like, now that we're losing, that really irks me. So, and he actually said in a press conference that someone made him aware that the fan base is not happy with his style, his fashion style. So we'll see if he comes out looking a bit different. But, you know, like I said, if he's winning, I don't care what he's wearing. But when you lose and you look like a slob while you're losing, that's, you know.
Come out there wearing a pink tutu and penny loafers and yeah. you're fine as long as you're winning,
if
right?
You're gonna if you're going to look like you just rolled out of bed, you better win, because if you lose, it's not a great look. So, and, you know, Alabama has had, you know, Bear Bryant wearing a suit at the games most of the time. Gene Stallings also wearing a suit. Nick Saban wearing the polo and khakis. And now you have DeBoer, who is wearing a shirt and sweats. You know, so a lot of people are saying he needs to live up to the Alabama class, but we'll see. Maybe after a loss, he comes out wearing khakis and a polo, wearing the Saban look, trying to, you know, win back favor of the fans. or if he doubles down and keeps wearing it,
go old school, man. Wear the fedora. You know, put on the coat and tie. Get out there and look like somebody. Just saying. You made it under the wire, too, by the way, but the music is playing.
It all snuck right. up on me there.
JP on sports. Good stuff, man. And you got your show tomorrow morning. Tell them where they can find it real quick.
Off the Bench on 103.9 FM, The Ump, up in Huntsville, or you can catch it on the Ump app if you're not in that area. So check us out.
All right, good enough. We're coming back with hour number 3 here on a Friday afternoon. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.